Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be 7 years out of the Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Considering costs is generally good advice before you plan things, before you buy a car, before you buy a house, before you do things. It's worthy to pay specific attention, careful heeding to those costs, whether you can finish it, whether you can afford it. But see, when God speaks those words, consider the costs, he's talking of costs of being one of his followers, of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, now we're in a different stage. Eternal concerns. What would it take to be and remain a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's it going to take? What's going to be the cost? You see, God Almighty looked upon this fallen world and knew that he would have to send his Son to be the Redeemer. From Psalm 14. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turn aside. They have gathered together and become corrupt. There's not one who does good. No, not one. That's a hard psalm. Poor miserable sinners. You see, that's already a rub in our world today. It's becoming so much to the point that they're stopping to do confessions and absolution. They have in their mind, I'm not. I'm not that bad of a person. I am not a poor, miserable sinner. You see, they're thinking more about me, my, mine, I. That's why our Savior cannot be conceived by man and born of woman. Someone else have to pay the price. Angels don't fit it as well. They're spirits, not the blood. From Revelation, Apostle John put it this way. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw strong angels proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or earth or on earth was able to do so. You see, John knew that and found that out. You see, God considered the cost. Sent his Son into the world. You really need to understand that. He left heaven. Think of that. He left heaven. Born. Can you imagine that? Going through childbirth. Going through being here on earth. As a child, 33 years or so, left his father's right hand, born into this world, left all that behind. And Jesus knew it. You see his face, it's headed to Jerusalem. He knows what's coming. He understands the cost. When Peter sought to lead an army against Jesus' enemies, Jesus said, put away your sword, Peter. Do you not think that I cannot pray to my Father and provide me more than 12 legions of angels? You see, Jesus knew. He knew what was going to cost. But he'd taken captive by Roman soldiers and temple guards. Left his mother hands of John, bore the sins of the world. Nailed to a beam which had passed on a narrow wooden column, which is the base and the foundation of the world. See again, the world has problems with this. They just don't understand it. Why would he? Why would he leave heaven to come here for you, for me, for the world? And when the world saw him on the cross, and he died. Soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And even when Jesus said, "It is finished," the atonement of all sins of all people was accomplished. Yet the world still didn't get it. The disciples still didn't get it. You see, the multitudes of all those people that were following him are gone. Even his disciples left. Oh, there's a few. They always are. You know them. Mary, John, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, some other women. So now what? That's your question today. Now what? You see, we know that story of Jesus Christ. We know about his death. We know about his resurrection. So now what? Think about hating family and even life. Being a disciple, I'm going to first share with you what it does not mean. It means you may not leave fulfilling your vocation. As a father, mother, wife, child, brother, sister, member of the community. Any more than means having permission to take your own life, committing suicide. Likewise, being a disciple doesn't mean that you bear your cross of sin. Christ already did that. So what's he getting at, hating family? Well, that's the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that's the rub. Above all things. Hating your life means remaining in favor of the Lord your God, even means dying. Take my life, my goods, my fame, my child, my wife. Let all these things be gone. Being a disciple, understanding the cost. You actually do this. You're here this morning. On a Sunday morning. You know, there's football coming on. Just to remind you guys. My son, he asked my wife, or his wife, "Hey, it's football season. What do you think?" Well, now I'm going to share with you what she told him. "What do you think of football season? Why are you here?" You know, already bearing a cross to be a child of God. You're here. You already received forgiveness of sins. Your baptism made you a child of God. I think I just said with you. That's what happened to your baptism. You're a child of God. And you bear in your brow the seal of him who died for you and rose again. You're here to take the Lord's Supper, his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You see, you're already bearing that cross of who I am. I'm a brother and sisters in Christ. Jesus pointed out from Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for in gentle, lowly heart you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He's here, divine service. He's here, saying, "Come. Come here. Listen to me. Listen to my words for the forgiveness of sins." You see, Jesus was faithful to the cross. It was a metaphor. It was real. I notice more and more some of the history channels are beginning to understand that. Even our scientists of our world today. They're beginning to find more and more physical proof, scientific proof, that Jesus was real. They're pointing out all the things in the Bible that really, truly, actually happened. You see, his death was not just a persecution. His death was a sacrifice for the sins of the world. endure the cross of our sins so that we do not have to. Make sure you understand that. He did that for you, for me, so that I would not have to do that. And by his faithful suffering death of the cross, his triumph over sin, death, and the power of Satan. When he closed that out, and when you're familiar with this, he told in Matthew 28, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And in Hebrews 13, "I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you." You see, when you leave here, this is why we have depart in peace. When you leave here, you have the peace of God, and Jesus Christ is with you. He's always going to be with you while you live here on this earth. He is going to see you through your crosses. He is going to see you times of difficulty. And when your time here is over, you're going to be with him in heaven. But in any time, evil, Satan, he will attack. He will use all his resources to attack you. Through your family, your friends, even your own personal body. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, with those words, Jesus taught that the brothers and sisters of Christ have enemies. Some of you have already may have experienced this. A faithful disciple will suffer in this world for the sake of Christ. Our culture has gotten used to the idea that any hardship in life may be called a cross. Sickness, accident, unfortunate financial setback. Sometimes that's the way of Satan attacks you. But as long as you live in this sinful world, you will have these crosses to bear. Keep that in mind. We are in this world, a sinful world, a world that's dying, but we are not of this world. Here today, Jesus speaks of the cross that the Christian bears because they are Christians. Every time you confess Jesus Christ to the world, the way you walk, the way you talk, issues of abortion, issues of LGBTQ, issues of same-sex marriages, issues of transgender, those are crosses. Some people are going to hate you for it. Some people are going to call you a bigot. But in spite of this, we need not fear, for the Holy Spirit's with you. He came on you at your baptism. He's there with you, working through us to give us the strength to remain faithful. And in spite of the world's persecution, even means we lose family and friends, even means death because of our faith. We have this in our rite of confirmation. I don't know if you remember this. Those questions. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper? Do you intend to live according to the Word of God in faith, word and deed? Do you intend to continue steadfast in his confession in church to suffer all, even death? And those answers, they're always the same. I do, by the grace of God. You see, we know we cannot do it by ourselves. And Jesus is telling you, you don't have to. I'm here with you. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will keep our faith strong. He will be with us here in time and hereafter. I'm going to close with a story, a true story. This is actually from Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord." I think some of you are familiar with this. And this is a true story. Let me get a drink of water before I start. One evening, a woman was driving home when she noticed an 18-wheeler truck behind her. As this was a relatively crowded highway, it did not especially bother her. What causes some concern, it seemed, that the big truck was following is uncomfortably close by. Now the problem, she said, she stepped on the gas. The truck did the same. The faster she went, the faster the truck went. She slowed down, the truck slowed down. She took an off-ramp, and then because the truck could continue to follow her, she immediately sped back to the highway. And the truck did the same. You see, the driver truck mirrored every move she made. Once more, she got off the road, hoping to see her pursuer in the traffic. It did not happen. The truck even ran a red light to stay behind her. Finally, in a panic, the woman whipped into a service station, bolted out of her automobile, screaming for help. The truck driver sprang from his truck and ran toward her car. Yanking the back door open, he reached in and pulled out a man who had been hiding in her back seat. You see, the woman had been running from the wrong person. From a high vantage point, the truck driver spotted a would-be robber or rapist. The chase was not in an effort to harm her, but to save her, even at the cost of his own safety. True story. All this is rather a lengthy way of saying to you, stay faithful. Don't run away from your Lord Jesus Christ when times get tough. Do not be like that people of the world who resent God's commandments, His actions, His love, His call to faith. You will be challenged for being a Christian if you have not already. Instead of rejoicing and know His presence in your life, it's not there to hurt or harm you. Look at the things the triune God said in Jeremiah. Plans for you. Plans give you future and hope. He has promised to respond to those who call upon Him. He has guaranteed to restore our fortunes and bring us safely back to home. For what I can see and what I believe, the Lord will not hurt or harm you. He's always with you. I pick up His Son's sacrifice promise to help and heal. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we give thanks for Your presence in our life, even when we may not understand why things happen the way they do. Help us to rely on You for guidance and direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.